Okay. I promised yesterday that I would go over China's disposition. And see, China has a history. In the Chinese history movies, the way the war movies work is that there's a conquering general emperor type of guy. And he raises up an army with the great and grandiose, altruistic, wonderful vision of conquering and defeating and taking control over other small parts of what is now China. And making that conqueror general emperor guy takes his own little area of the map and makes it bigger by destroying and defeating and putting out governments of those around him, of those neighboring areas, and growing it. And that this thus creates one government to rule them all. And that is peace and goodness and benevolence in the world. Of course, that's wonderful. The end. And that's how their movies go in China. Now, a lot of this comes from Confucianism, basic Confucian teaching. In fact, there's this story that Confucius traveled all over the world and went to kings all over the world and said, respect the other kings and don't have war, and never gave them a reason why. He just said, do it because I said so. And it's funny because I don't know of history talking about this Confucius guy visiting these other kings. It's just that he said that he did. Now, maybe he didn't go all the way over to Europe. Maybe he only did it to nearby countries. And I'm not sure how he was going to be able to go over to Europe and speak Chinese and have them understand very well. I don't know that Europe was filled up with Chinese translators back in the days of Confucius. But, well, we're talking thousands of years ago. But as you know, Confucius anyway, his story claims that he went around and did this. Maybe he only did it locally in China. I don't know. Clearly, he didn't make much of a difference. But in Confucius' teaching style, he never gave reasons. He just said, do it because I said so. And that culture in Eastern culture, even Korea and Japan, they've all been influenced by Confucius. If you go back far enough, they share the characters. Even Korea had Chinese characters until just a few hundred years ago, I do believe. Korea's language was created by their government leader. The government leader said, we've been bullied around. We don't even have our own language. We will create our language and we will do it. And he did. And they have grammatical rules and there are no exceptions, zero exceptions. You learn Korean, you know the rules. That's it. No exceptions. And it was a created language so that they could assert themselves from other countries. Probably, you know, is there any East Asian culture that likes to dominate other countries that they would have to assert themselves or separate themselves from? Cough, China, cough, cough. Yeah, you know, Japanese and Chinese have animosity goes way back. Oh, boy. No. If China tries to take Taiwan, they're going to have two really big countries nearby that are not happy, Korea and Japan, because they know that Taiwan, they know Japan would be next. Maybe Hawaii, but Japan would be next. Japan, there's no way. Japan, what? Was that the second or third largest economy in the world, this little tiny island, Japan, this cluster of islands? And China's like there, like China was, you know, less than them. China's got seven times as many people as America, and America still has a bigger economy. Like, China really thinks that they're big and bad and they can do stuff, and they don't know how small they are. But they have this grandiose view of the past, where they look at the past and they say, we became great. We think that we caused peace and goodness and benevolence by killing everyone who disagreed with us and creating only one government system in this area. And that was good and wonderful, and the people are all happy, except for the idiots that we kill, thankfully. And that is our own wonderfulness that we should spread ourselves to all others. And China is going back to that ancient view. They're rehashing it. They're pulling it back up. And they really believe that they're on this sacred, holy, blessed, benevolent mission to destroy all the evil of the world by killing everyone that disagrees with them or brainwashing them to a point of torture. You know, look at the Uyghurs that are going through this re-education stuff. Look at the documentaries there. The BBC, I think it was the BBC that went in and did a documentary on it. It's astounding what China's been getting away with the Uyghurs. It's just astounding. And I don't know how anyone, they do it, but I don't know how anyone can say that the Uyghurs aren't going through this when you've got, when BBC did a documentary on it. I don't know how you say otherwise. But, you know, when someone has a really good view of themselves, they can do any evil thing in the world. And America has done a lot of stuff. America has done a lot of evil in messing with other countries. Trump was not in favor of us meddling in Iraq. But we thought we were so wonderful, we went over and created a mess. And our overinflated view of ourselves created a mess that Obama came along and exploited, pulled our soldiers out ultra fast, left our guns and everything there, and created ISIS. And that wouldn't have been possible if we didn't have the same overinflated view of ourselves that China has of themselves. Now, I typically vote Republican and everything, but I am not happy with what we've done in Iraq. There's a lot of meddling going on, and we should be strong at home. You know, Ron Paul used to talk about that stuff a lot. We can't be in all these wars. So they should have gotten Don Knotts to play. Wouldn't that have been great to have Don Knotts play Ron Paul? You know, if there was a movie, they should make a movie called The Andy Griffith Show, and they should get Don Knotts in there, and they should have Ron Paul play. They should have Ron Paul play Don Knotts. I think that'd be great. Okay, this is China's basic view. This is China's disposition of the world, and they view themselves as the savior and the way to solve problems. Conquering. And I've talked to the people in China's government. I remember being in college. Bush had just been president. Our spy plane had been too close, and the Chinese, quote unquote, accidentally shot it down. And they, you know, you have to send our plane back. Okay, they did, like a week or two later, and they sent it back in a box after going through all the little tiny parts. Oh yeah, and W. Bush was all indignant, even though he didn't know his history when we'd done to others what the Chinese did to us. He didn't know. Oh, it was a snafu. Well, that had just happened. A bunch of people from the Chinese government were in America touring things, and they came over with a local Chinese group on campus, like a Chinese language speaking group that was on our college campus, and they met up and got together, and we had dinner. And my friend, my Taiwanese American friend, said, "Don't bring up anything controversial." Yeah, right. We sat there, and this guy next to me from Chinese government, I said, "So what do you think about our plane crashing in your island?" My Taiwanese friend put his head in his lap like the World War 18 was going to start, and he starts screaming at me in my face. And I'm listening. Yeah, okay, all right. And he says, "Friends, don't spy on each other." I said, "Does China have any spies in America's government?" And he didn't know what to say. And I said, he paused. He goes, "Okay, you have a point. But when you get caught, you don't say it's my right." I said, "Okay, there, I agree with you. I agree. You don't get caught, you don't say it's your right to spy. Okay, fair enough." But I got him to admit that friends spy on each other. But he never thought about that before. Because the guy in the Chinese government talking to me had spent all of his time telling me how the reason there are problems in the world is because there's more than one government. Now, guess where he got that from? And he kept going on and 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 on about that. Well, when did this happen? We were talking 2001-ish, 2002. Oh, yeah, because our spy plane had just crashed and all, just after that. And so he's going on and on and on and on about how there's got to be one government in the world. And I looked at him. I said, "I agree. Now, who's going to run it? You?" And he just sat there like, I don't know. I said, "Oh, you want us to run it?" "Oh, no, no, no." I said, "You see the problem?" "Yeah, I see the problem." He never thought about that before, because in their Chinese culture, they don't think about this stuff. That's how they think in their Chinese culture. And that's where they come from. That's what's going on in the Chinese government's thinking. And that's what's driving them to do what they're doing in Hong Kong, to do what they're doing in Taiwan. And when the virus thing comes out, they don't respond with facts. They don't respond soberly. They don't respond clearly to say, "No, this is what happened with the virus. We did this, that happened there." They respond ultra defensively because they feel beaten down, and they get this idea that they're supposed to conquer the whole world so that they can bring peace in the whole world, and they're embarrassed by anyone that tells them maybe otherwise.